You can't laugh, Sarah.
She's crying already.
No,
yeah, that's not.
Yeah, this is. It's like this every day.
Wait, can I just, Carrie? I've always wanted to meet you. It's really. Cool. Oh, no, seriously, Carrie. You're way cooler than they are.
Oh God.
And that's Sarah Ventry. She's our intern. She's going to sit here. You might hear a giggle now and again.
No,
I'm Bob Boylan.
No, we won't.
Yes, we will. And that's Stephen Thompson. Robin Hilton is here too. Hello, everybody. We're all together. First time since summer, was it?
Yeah. It's sad.
We're going to do favorites of the year on the NPR website right now. The team. The NPR member stations got together. We pulled a list together of 50 favorite things that we all love, right? And that's a wonderful list to list through. Right now going on is our listener poll. So the listeners are going to pick the best music of 2010. And we're just here to pick our favorites. I'd love to start off with favorite new artists.
I think we should give this to Carrie since she's rejoining us.
That's great. Carrie Brownstein.
I remember Carrie.
You're in Portland. You're not in the room sitting with us, but... we've missed you.
I've missed you guys, too. And what you may not know is I've been sleeping with three blow-up dolls. Bob, Stephen, and Robin. No,
I'm sorry. This is
Stephen's
not cool.
Stephen's has real hair. And
luxuriant.
Bob's I have to put under the bed sometimes because it's always bossing me around. And Robin's, if you squeeze it, it makes a whining sound. Anyway, well, I've missed you guys, too. I'll start with favorite new artist. This is a band and a person that we have talked about before on the show, and that is Best Coast. Mm. We talked a lot in the past year or so, this latest resurgence of garage and surf. I feel like the problem with this genre is that it's almost overly democratic as to be sort of generic, which is why it lends itself so well to compilations. You know, you have Nuggets, Pebbles, Back from the Grave, Girls in the Garage. It's like there's just this one sound,
right,
that you can just plug all these different people into. But what I love about Best Coast and Bethany Cosentino is that she made an album that can't just be pulled apart into a couple of good songs. It stands out as an album. She has a personality. She has charisma. She can really sing. I saw this band live in Portland. I was so impressed specifically by her and by her bandmate, Bob Bruno. What she does is make writing pop songs seem effortless, which is, I think, one of the hardest things to do. That album was Crazy for You, and the song is called The End.
Much edgier when I saw them live.
They're a grunge band, yeah. Live. Didn't you think? You almost think they were a grunge
much
band?
And I loved that. I loved that a lot.
Me too. And I think if I hadn't seen them live, I don't think they would be on this list for me.
Yeah.
The album is a lot poppier, like you said, in some places than when the band was first described to me. This is not what I was expecting. So, you know, someone would said if I kicked the speakers out of all of the amps and, you know, turned everything up to 11. But that's not what this sounds like.
At the same time, I mean, this is a band I've only heard in the form of singles, and this is one that I hadn't heard before. And this is really this song, as you said, Carrie, sounds different. It doesn't sound like a rehashing of the same sound. It's still girl groupy, it's still surfy, but it's a different hook, it's a different sound. I really, really like this. I'm going to have to listen to the whole record.
Robin Hilton, what do you got? We're picking favorite new artists of 2010.
This was a really hard one because there were so many artists that I really loved that were new this year. I ended up going with the band Sea of Bees.
Oh, I remember that. You put them on all songs.
And I would say that they are tied with Lower Dens and Villagers, if I can just throw some other names in there. Sea of Bees is just one woman. I've seen her name two different ways, Julie Ann Bee or Julie Beesinger or Basinger. And she's from Sacramento. Her debut album this year is called Songs for the Ravens. And she did everything on it. It's beautiful. And I just love the sort of gritty, dark, ambient feel of this whole record. From Songs for the Ravens, let's give a listen to the song Gnomes.
I like music a lot. The voice is peculiar, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, it is. I think it's lovely. I think it's beautiful. It's got a nice little grit to it. I like voice. I really don't like voices that are super, super pure. And hers is really strong but rough all around the edges. And it's a really strong album melodically, too. I think a lot of albums that strike tones like this tend to have sort of mumbly monotone melodies and singers, and she's not afraid to stretch it out.
Yeah, she's working a range of her own. Yeah. I like what she's doing. I remember the song you put on All Songs was a beautiful one also.
Sea of Bees.
Sea of Bees, and it's Stephen Thompson's turn.
It's my turn. And a grateful nation breathes a sigh of relief.
Sit back, people. No, I picked a guy from Minneapolis who I don't think we've ever actually played on this show. This is a record I've kept coming back to again and again. This a wonderful, wonderful power pop record. It's from a guy from Minneapolis named Jeremy Messersmith. Basically, he's self-released these three records as what he calls a life cycle trilogy. And this is the third record. And so, as you can imagine, this one's all about death. But that said, there's this amazing sort of 60s power pop sparkle to the record. This particular song is called Violet.
Streaks of earth matted in her hair, beaten down, but she won't scare. Blinks her eyes, bed of green and blue. Ignorance can leave an offer.
Violet.
gets a job. No, she won't quit. She'll take the fight to streets and avenues. A little dirt can make a flower.
If you've ever heard a band called Jellyfish...
You are jumping in so fast that I can tell you're already defensive.
Wow.
Go ahead, Jellyfish.
By the way, the name of that album is The Reluctant Graveyard. I'm sure you could have gathered as much by the tone of that song.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
As sung by a pillow, namely.
I like the song a lot, Stephen. Go ahead.
Thank you, Robin, for pointing out
Jelly,
that's really, really good.
Whatever you say.
Anyway, there was a band called Jellyfish. Those who love and obsess over the band Jellyfish should definitely check out Jeremy Messersmith. And is that Carrie giggling?
No. We're
no,
all.
I was
it's
just
Robin
thinking
sound
of like
effects.
I was thinking of like the four or five, you know, like Jellyfish fans.
There
just
are
getting...
some hardcore Jellyfish fans, and I think all of them should leave comments on the website.
Okay. You know,
well, they're going to.
That's right.
No, I also, I liked that song, but I had a moment where I worried about you for some reason.
What do you have, Bob?
I got another one about, like, depressing subject matter. Lost in the Trees, we did a Tiny Desk concert with them. They're a group, sort of a folky little mini orchestra from Chapel Hill. Ari Picker is the lead singer and the songwriter, and the songs come from childhood that wasn't all that pleasant. And for him, they're a way to deal with the past of... I'm not even going to go into
so it. So I'm the morbid one.
Okay.
He started writing these songs at Berkeley in Boston as a bedroom project. And now, you know, that was 2002, 2003. These songs have just grown and grown. And each time I hear them, they get even better. Just one thing to think about real quick, which is that there's something about this song, unlike all the others, it reminds me a little bit of Syd Barrett in the voice. That's all.
I missed you for so long. My garden's overgrown. I paste holes in the floor. I drink ocean water. Kept to my attic room while you've sung your song with a heart that would glow. And you've learned your lesson. I am coming home, I am coming home, and I've waited for you. High above the golden, heaven's angels descend upon your bed. They will hold your sweet head, let you sleep like the dead. And with a sharp knife they will give you their heart, and with needles and thread you can bled them.
Hard for me to fade this down. My own fingers are doing this, but they want to fight. The thumb wants it to go louder. Oh. Lost in the Trees. We're here in All Songs Considered talking about favorite music. I'm here with Stephen Thompson, Robin Hilton, Carrie Brownstein. Favorite new artists we're on to. How about we do albums of the year, folks? Let's do
Whoa.
Albums of the year. Yeah, let's
Wow.
go right for it.
You are like, not messing around.
It's looking like putting best picture before best supporting actor.
There you go.
I hope people listen to the denouement, which is the rest of the show.
After this moment.
The coda.
The rest of the show is just our blooper reel.
I can't go next, can I? I mean, because Robin deemed that you go first, Carrie, that means that Robin goes first.
all right, I'll go.
Who smelt it? Dalton.
Sound effect time.
Just a second. Oh. That was so perfect.
Ordinarily, Robin has his finger on the fart button.
I just want to say, on that note, as I took a bite of cookie because I didn't think I was going to say anything.
Because if there's one thing our crowd wants, it's to listen to Bob eat.
But God, before we came in here, Robin said, keep the joking down a little bit. I think people appreciate it more when there's a little less joking. He brought the fart effect. I'm just saying.
That's so passive aggressive. That's like one of those things. It's like, I don't want you guys to be funny, but hey, I brought this fart
but
sound effect.
But awooga, awooga, awooga.
Mr. All Hilton.
Right, I am so sorry. Okay. So, my favorite album of the year, I'm going to go with a big surprise out of left field and say the Sleigh Bells record is my favorite album of the year.
Wow, from me too.
Yeah, no.
Okay, I remember when we were all excited that this record was going to come out, and when it came out, then I got an email from Carrie saying, oh my God. I don't know, can I say what the email? Well, I'll just say Carrie didn't like the record as much as I think maybe she thought she would.
Can you give me a
plug
for 1 second?
Yeah.
I just want to say the Sleigh Bells record, for anybody who's ever heard the Sleigh Bells record, Robin, if you get mad at me, I'm sorry. Oh. But this is the man who not only wrote this piece of music, but is playing this piece of music. And I keep this music in mind. This is Robin Hilton on piano, seriously. Mm-hmm. And now I think you should play the Sleigh Bells. And not my Sleigh Bells, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, that's a whole different show.
We're not going to that ball.
All right, well, we can talk about Sleigh Bells afterwards. Got my machines on the table, got my bean machines in the drawer. Got my machines on the table, got my bean machines in the drawer. Got my machines on the table, got my bean machines in the drawer. Got my machines on the table, got my bean machines in the drawer. Got my machines on the table, got my bean machines in the drawer. One of the songs from this record pops up on my iPod. It just makes me want to punch someone in the face.
But gotta go.
In the best possible way. I redline when I hear this album.
Yeah, that's on 12.
Yeah, this album, just every time a song comes up, it just blows me out of the water. It's just amazing. And Carrie, I guess maybe I was wrong in thinking that you thought you were going to like the record, but I did think of you when I was thinking of all the reasons I love this album. I thought, you know what? It's got teeth. It's got teeth, it's bold, it's fearless.
Yeah, you should like this record, Carrie.
It's totally new, and because I got that notion from you, that you like songs with teeth.
I just find this record to have a kind of faux intensity, this sort of like aimless pastiche that I just cannot get behind. I don't feel it at all.
So you're saying that this is like disingenuous in some way.
I could never guess at how genuine or disingenuous this is. I don't know, but it doesn't. I just don't feel it. I really think that this band is here today, gone tomorrow. To me, it still maintains a sterility that I find off-putting, and not. It doesn't hit me anywhere. Like in terms of a guttural emotional response, which is not the only way I relate to music, but I feel like that is the intention of it, and it just doesn't get me in that way.
I have to say, guys, I agree with Carrie, and the way that I put that, and there are a couple
weird.
I know it happens every once in a while. There are a couple of tracks on this record that I really like, but the way I summed it up when we were debating it before is I felt like these weren't songs so much as MP3s. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't hit with anything more than kind of a, for me, kind of a fleeting, here are these kind of buzzy tracks. The Here Today, Gone Tomorrow thing is, I guess, what I'm trying to say there. It didn't feel like a whole album where I would put it on as an album so much as these very ephemeral little pieces of noise.
I think it works best as an album. I can just sit this, listen to this beginning to end. But, you know, if I were smarter and had better ideas, I could really argue my case here.
No, yeah.
But the bottom line is that I used Bob's rating system just to see how these things would come
out. Let's talk about Bob's rating system later, though, because we got to get some more music, don't you think?
That's fine. But anyway, I got a 4.3, and in Bob's rating system, that's out of the water. That is just out of this world. Bob, so go next.
That was your album of the year. You just got beaten to a pulp. but I'm going to try mine.
It came down to, and I'll just sum it up this way, is that it just makes me feel so alive when I hear that record.
Yeah, me too.
So I think that's the problem for me. I prefer not to.
So I'm going to go with another band. We've had it at the Tiny Desk, did a Tiny Desk concert with Buke and Gase. It goes online the same week as this show. Buke and Gase are a duo from New York, good old friends, a guy and a girl, both named Aaron, and they make and play unique instruments. Buke is sort of a shorthand for a bass ukulele, and it's electrified through their own amps and their own speaker cabinets, and Gase is a guitar bass Frankenstein guitar that this guy's made, and Aaron's made, and it's just a fantastic original sound. I'm just going to go right play Buke and Gase. It's their first record, and I love, love, love this duo. I'm going to play a song called Your Face Left Before You. One bass drum and two instruments. I just love, love, love this band.
In a way, I feel like that's almost a rebuttal to the Slave House.
Me too. Me too. That's exactly how I felt.
Because this is so much more full-blooded.
Mm. Exactly.
I would say equally full-blooded.
Robin, point out, Robin, that one of your a record you debated putting as album of the year, and I'm disappointed you didn't, is the Deer Hunter album, which... I mean, that's an album that makes me want to jump around and feel alive.
Wow, really? It makes me want to pull the blankets up over my head and stay inside.
But so does everything.
Yeah, that's true. Fair enough.
So does the absence of records.
I liked that one, Bob.
Great. Carrie, what do you got?
My album of the year is one that came out quite recently, and that is Kanye West's My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, which is an album I've been listening to nonstop. It's as self-analytical and questioning as it is self-aggrandizing. It's as celebratory as it is damning. It's powerful, passionate. It's very grandiose, but it has a specificity that makes it really poignant and personal. And it's the whole album is just fantastic and catchy and just feels like an instant classic. And it's really West just showcasing all his strengths as a rapper, not a singer on this one. He's a curator. He's an impresario. he's a hit maker. And again, going back to this like sleigh bells issue, here is an album where Kanye West he's asking what is at stake. There's a lot at stake here, and what is on the line? There's a lot on the line, and I think that a lot of the power in these songs and in his words comes from him grappling with those questions of just being out on a ledge and trying to figure out what that means and feeling very much in the spotlight. There's so many tracks that I would want to play off this album, but we are going to hear Gorgeous.
If I want it, I need it. I can feel it slowly drifting away from me. I'm on the edge, so why you playing? I'm saying I will never, ever let you live this down, down, down. Nothing, 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 seen it. I dreamed it. I can feel it slowly drifting away from me. No more chances if you blow this, you bogus. I will never, ever let you live this down, down.
Penitentiary chances, the devil dances and eventually answers to the call of autumn. All them falling for the love of balling. Get caught with 30 rocks, the cop look like Alec Baldwin. Inner century anthems based off inner city tantrums, based off the way we was branded. Face it, Jerome get more time than Brandon. And at the airport, they check all through my bag and tell me that it's random. But we stay winning. This week has been a bad massage. I need a happy ending and a new beginning and a new fitted and some job opportunities is lucrative. This the real world, homie, school finished. They just stole your dreams, you don't know who did it. I treat the cash the way the government tree says. I won't be satisfied till all my niggas get it. Get it?
Ain't no question if I want it, I need it.
It ain't bragging if you can do it.
That is one of the mellower tracks on there, but there's a million guest stars on this album. I just love the whole thing. I listen to it over and over and over again.
I'm still unpacking this record. There's so much to hear. I mean, obviously, part of it is it feels so much like an event.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. I think it kind of eclipses a lot of the other releases this year, which is probably why you put it out right at the end of the year.
Can I take a break a minute? Because it's sunset and it's Hanukkah, and I just want to light the candles here. Yeah, they are little LED candles I'm balancing on the mic poles.
And
here,
from what I gather, each little LED battery is supposed to last 8 days.
That's right. These actually LED batteries are Hanukkah batteries, and they actually run on oil. Okay, that's all. Steven.
Steven.
It's my turn.
I won't do the dreidel song, I promise.
Thank you. I know, Bob, you love the Buchengase record. But this is the product of a little pre-show bargaining, because I know that this is your favorite album of the year, right?
I think so. We're talking Yanzi now. We're not talking Kanye West.
Right. We're not talking Kanye West. We're not talking Buchengase. Right. Both really good records. Yanzi from Sigur Rós. And the whole record is just this. It's this weird Icelandic gnome empties out his entire toy box. And as much as Sigur Rós is somewhat portentous and dark and swirling and kind of taking you on this journey of the mind, blah, blah, blah. This is just this, this has a lot of that atmosphere, but it's also just this crazy, joy-filled romp. And it is such a loving, fun, sweet record that I listen to all year long and just love. And I'm not necessarily one who's given to fits of happiness, but but this record made me so happy this year. This song is called Go Do.
Do you think we could get a sponsor, like an Effexor or Selexa sponsor?
What do you want to hear, Stephen?
Oh, I hate you so much.
I know. I
can't. Is this help because
it.
This is because I agreed with Carrie? Yeah. Is this because I agreed with Carrie?
You're done for. He controls the audio. Oh. I control the volume.
Anyway, can you please play a song called Go Do?
Say that my Hanukkah candles blinked in time with the music, and at that very moment, my Yahnzee screensaver came on.
Oh my god.
Listen, this has been the year. I'm so glad you picked this.
We
made this deal. I just want to say that because I'm so glad you played this. Capped off this year, not only a great record came out in February,
right,
but capped off by a brilliant, brilliant concert.
Best live show I saw this year.
That's right, that too. So just really fun, great, great. Yahnzee.
I feel like this is the music that is always playing in Bob's brain.
This album, this is what it opens with, right? Isn't this
yes.
the first, right? Yeah, I remember when I first heard this, it just blew me away. Just a little
right,
great world of sound.
He and Nico Muhly worked on the string arrangement, so there's really, you hear lots of strings in a lot of independent rock music, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's better than good. This stuff is a whole nother level of playing. And
I love this
really
record
brilliant.
So much.
The song Tornado. There's so many. But best albums of the year. We did it, folks. We did best albums of the year.
We're all done, except
good
for the
night,
eight more songs we're going to play.
Good night, Cleveland.
So we did Buke and Gase, Kanye West, whatever Robbins was. We did Yahnzee. Sleigh Bells. I love this Sleigh Bells, Robin. So we got more ahead. What we're going to do ahead, we're going to do Biggest Surprise of the Year, folks. We'll do that next. And then we'll do Songs of the Year. We'll end with, how's that? We'll do that.
Sure.
Perfect.
Great. And I'm talking
with... Wait, Bob, we should mention that actually, Bob, you like to end with Song of the Year because in some ways you feel like we've returned to an era of the song.
That is actually this year more true than ever. And, and I can prove it in my rating system. But, you know.
All right. So get this, Carrie. Yesterday, Bob tells me, I've run all the numbers, I've done all the math, here's how my albums are rated and how they fall for my top 10. Is that right? Would I say what came out
in
first?
Yeah.
So first place, surprisingly, was the Surfer Blood record. Hmm. And when he showed me the score that Surfer Blood got, I thought, wow, this is going to be like a perfect five. It was 3.9. And I said, Bob, a 3.9 isn't even a B. That's a C+. And so we ended up having this argument for about 30 minutes about how to run the numbers and run the math. And Anyway,
two things are important to say here. One,
one is that actually, Bob doesn't really care.
One is that I'm going to. All right, everybody's mics off. One, the first one is that I just use this sort of rating system all year long as I'm driving in my car, and I rate songs as I hear them, so that when I'm obsessed with a record in February, I can remember that I really like these songs. So Spoon and Surfer Blood, things that I liked way back that I didn't listen to so much the second half of the year, are somehow represented in a way that feels like I've got the passion of when I heard them. It's one little thing that I do to rate, to figure out my best album of the year. Surfer Blood is not going to be my best album of the year.
Bottom
but
line,
song
though.
For song, it had better songs. But there's more to figuring out better best albums of the year than it could be great songs, but it doesn't make it the best record of the year. Yanzi, for example, does for me because it's innovative, because it just does things other records don't do. It's not only about songs to make an album of the year. That's songs of the year. Just saying.
The bottom line is his number one album got a C plus.
No, and so you cannot compare the star rating to a.
So wait a minute, you don't know this part, Stephen. So last night I text him. I say, do me a favor, go through and rate all the songs in the White album and tell me what you came up with. A 3.7. So I said, so mathematically, the Surfer Blood record is better than the White album.
And I agreed with
and you.
You
said yes. Okay, go. Now,
but if I would say what...
Somewhere Surfer Blood's publicist is jotting this down. This is going to be used as a
blurb. NPR Music agrees.
Better than the White album.
Wait, what...
That's
what,
the name of their next album.
It's 1 through 5 based on what? Those stars?
There's 5 stars in the iTunes system, so you can give it 1 through 5. And then so if it's got 10 cuts, and one's a 3, and one's a 2, and one's a 5,
see.
And you
so
add them up, and then
song,
I average it.
Right,
so on the White album, you get Wild Honey Pie, you got Why Don't We Do It on the Road, you got these songs that are just, they're just ideas, you know? And that's what made the White album great, but in and of themselves as songs, they don't rate very high. So that pulls the whole weight of the record.
So it's a complete, it's an inherently...
Perfect. Wait, who are the Beatles?
Messed up.
It's an inherently perfect system.
All right.
Okay, so we're on to best surprise of the year.
Bottom line, 3.9. Yes, go.
But we all have to be nice to Robin on this one.
Please. I'm so sorry.
All right, so we're going to do biggest surprise of the year, Robin Hilton. What was it for you?
I picked Sufjan Stevens, and I had a number of other candidates. But look, the guy hadn't put out a record in 5 years, well, of songs like this in 5 years. He had recently announced that the whole States project was a joke and he was abandoning it. He said he wasn't even sure if he wanted to make music anymore. He certainly was done with the whole album format. And literally 2 weeks after that, he comes out with one great album, and then a few weeks after that, another amazing album. And they are full, complete albums, very much.
He called one an EP, but it was the length
of
any good album.
It was like an hour long. It was an hour-long EP and had however many tracks on it. So he comes back with The Age of Odds, and it's just this grand, incredibly huge sound. It's nowhere near as precious as anything he's ever done before. And it really threw me for a loop when I first listened to it. And then the more I sort of let it sink in, the more I realized this is a perfect direction for him to go with his music. Because if he had just put out another little, you know, wispy, sentimental, soft-voiced, you know, album, it probably wouldn't have resonated.
It would have been on
me.
Your favorite album of the year.
Okay, that's true. It probably would. Let's just listen to The Age of Odds. And this song really sums up, or really captures, I think, the whole sound of the record.
The guy who said before we came in here, keep the joking down a little bit, because you know.
All right, I mean it this time.
Blood, I could have read of your heart. I could have read of your heart. But now I'm lonely as that. I could have defied. So pick up
I think, Stephen, you put it really well with the Kanye West record, which you said, I'm still unpacking it.
Sure.
This is that for me. I just listened to this
record again yesterday in part because I'm still doing the same thing.
Yeah, I've listened to it four times, five times maybe, and I really, really like this record, and it's a real grower. It is not an easy first listen.
I have not yet fallen in love with it. And because of that, I've decided to like Sleigh Bells out of pity for Robin.
Oh, you know, how I feel about this Stevie and Steven album is I'm the first one to always criticize preciousness and whatnot, but I did love Illinois, or Come on Field Illinois, whatever it was called. Oh, Illinois, basically. Wow. I liked that album despite its preciousness and its, you know, its grandiosity when it didn't necessarily need to be. Huh. And I find that I don't know if I can actually locate who Suvian Stevens is or what it is about his music that I like without using that as the centerpiece anymore. And so I had a hard time coming to this album too, even though I have respect for it and I think that it was probably the right kind of album for him to make.
But I got a 3.58333 on my radio.
Wait a minute, let me see what I got.
That's what I meant to say. I meant to say I just got a 3.5.
We can sum up all of Carrie's commentary in numeral form.
This got a 3.3 for me. See, but in Bob's book, that's really high, I guess.
But it is growing. All the songs are growing on me, and I love it more and more. It's
ambitious, I think, as a lot of these records. The Kanye record, the Joanna Newsom record we're going to hear in just a minute. I really feel like this was a year for really ambitious records.
Well, which I like.
If we're looking for themes for the year, I mean, we've talked in past years about the rise of sort of the bedroom recording artist or the person who hides away in the cabin and makes these incredibly heartfelt songs. I felt like a lot of the signature albums of this year were very, very big.
Yeah, huge.
And at a time where people's attention span is shorter and shorter, and so I'm not sure how that plays in the marketplace. For the artist, I think it's a great thing. And I think for the absolute fan of any of those artists, it's a great thing. For the artist trying to draw in new fans, those projects are hard.
Right.
I think it's got to be, at least in part, and maybe just a small part, a reaction to nearly 10 years of these quiet little bedroom recordings, where you're getting much bigger sounds from bands, you're getting a lot more garage rock, people are getting back together in groups and getting out and making big music.
Let's play some Joanna Newsom, huh? This is your biggest surprise, Carrie. I mean, I'm tossing it right to you.
Sure, thanks. I feel like we each interpreted the word surprise a little bit differently. I think part of my surprise with this album was just how insanely long it was, how I didn't mind or really notice. My other surprise was that there's just been a few best of lists coming out, and I'm surprised that this is not on it because I think that she is unequaled. And I think that any year that a Joanna Newsom record comes out is a better year for music. I mean, it really just elevates what it means to be an artist, a musician, to be an album maker, to put yourself out there in a way that is boundless and mystifying. And she has one of those deal breaker voices, which is why I love it, in that, you know, it's either make or break for some people. And I like how uncomfortable that is and how she plays with that in her songs. And this is quite an epic album with fantastic playing and incredible lyrics. The album is called Have One on Me, and this song is called Soft as Chalk.
So long ago, so far away, when time was just a line that you fed me when you wanted to stay. Talk as soft as chalk till morning came, pit is a pearl. No time now I have got all the time in the world. Say honey, did you belong to me? Tell me honey.
Another one of those artists that just absolutely beautiful live. She did this live at a synagogue here in D.C., a couple blocks from NPR. Just knocked me out.
Yeah, I'd be really curious to hear it live. I every few years go through this process of really, really, really trying to engage with her music, and for some reason I just can't do it. And I think part of it's the voice. There's something about it that just feels a little...
There's no verse chorus. I mean, it is rarely real pulse. Pulse in terms of rhythm.
The voice feels affected to me, and I can't get past it. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating because I really, really want to love this record and her other records. What did you guys think of this record? Because obviously Carrie loved it.
I love the record, but I also found, and this is... This may be more of a problem with the kind of work we do, which is that there's so much much time with it. But the amount of material that pours our way, not a complaint, it just makes it hard to dig in. If I were just a fan and I just love 15 records in a year, this could be one of the 15 that I love. But I didn't spend enough time with this record, honestly, that it deserved for all the work in it, for all the song making, for all the lyric writing. Yeah, I did like it a lot.
So what you're saying is you failed.
Yeah, I did.
Totally. I mean, I did.
Yeah, but I'm glad you did it.
I'm guessing we lost Carrie.
It sounds like we lost
Carrie. No, I'm right here just listening to you guys talk about your own failings.
Well, I, for one, think that the Joanna Newsom record is a spectacular album.
I really do think it's an amazing album, and it's one, sort of like Carrie said, it's a really long record, and she didn't even care or mind or notice that it was a really long record. When I was listening to that song, I thought, this is one of the few albums I heard this year that I really could just sit back and just let it take me on its journey, because it is a journey listening to this record, and I think it's pretty impressive.
My biggest surprise was actually at a live concert. We saw a lot of shows this year.
Yes, we did.
And a lot of great ones. But one that really took me by surprise was Tallest Man on Earth. He played the 930 Club. And what surprised me so much about that show, it was just him and an acoustic guitar to 1,000 people, a Swedish folk singer, basically. A Swedish singer that does folky kind of music.
Sure.
And he had a rapt attention of the audience for the entire time. And at about... an hour and 10 minutes into the show. Robin, if you just start this sound file here, and then we're just going to play part of a song from that live concert. We have the whole concert online. But listen to the enthusiasm in the audience. This is...
This is awesome!
Okay. And let's let Christian Madsen play, Tallest Man on Earth, play a little bit of the song. That they're clapping along with him.
Thank you.
There's a palace of fallen, there's a smoke in the sky, there's a boy running down into the lowlands tonight, and he's catching the train to where he's heard you up in. He's a fool now among us, but a dreamer with a dreaming of you. And on that day there was snowfall in the street, yellow light, and they quit building rails just by those dark shimmer eyes. In that land there's a winter, and that winter's a day, and that day there's a moment where it all goes your way, and you know it's a lion's heart that will tumble and tear apart. When it's coming down the hills for you.
It's from The Wild Hunt is what that song is from. The song is,
Lion's Heart.
Yeah, Lion's Heart. 3.7 on my rating system.
Okay, if I went by the rating system, then this would be my number one album of the year. 4.7.
Wow.
4.7 on
it
this.
I just fell in love with him more and more this year. Came and did a Tiny Desk concert as well.
Oh, I loved his Tiny Desk concert.
Isn't that amazing?
I told you this last time we talked about him, Bob, that I was very lukewarm on The Tallest Man on Earth. Even when he came and did the Tiny Desk, I was like, it's nice. But this concert, when I heard this concert, I wasn't even there.
Right.
I was in the office working and monitoring this concert coming in. The guy is such a force on stage and so commanding. And like I said, I was just listening to him and got goosebumps. He totally won me over in this concert, which is still online and people can listen to. But I went back and listened to this album again after hearing the live show, and I'm just in love with it.
And then the EP that came out like 10 months later with five new songs.
Carrie, have you listened to him much this year?
Not so much this year, but I did see him last year. Actually, before he put out his first album, I saw him in a small bar in Portland, and he, without the audience knowing a single note, he was very commanding and charming and had, you know, everybody at the edge of their seat. And so it's kind of heartwarming to me and testament to just kind of his forcefulness and bravery that it still translates playing to 1,000 people. Yeah, that's, again, a good thing about the show is that now I will go and listen to this record.
I'm actually, as we're talking, downloading the concert.
I thought you were talking, I'm downloading it for free right now. I'm just downloading his album.
Yeah. So, biggest surprise of the year, we've done Sufjan Stevens. We did Joanna Newsom, Tallest Man on Earth. Stephen, your turn.
A little bit of a curveball, and speaking of the Tiny Desk concerts, this is an artist I would never have heard in 1 million years if it weren't for the Tiny Desk concerts. And I don't mean to always be plugging, but the fact that...
But I'll be here all week.
But I'll be here all weekend if you go to npr.org. No. Basically, we had a jazz violinist come in named Regina Carter. And she brought with her an accordion player and a kora player. And he brought this massive, you know, gourd-based instrument with him. And they wove this incredibly sort of hypnotic kind of tapestry of sound. And I was so taken with it. I immediately, went over to to Patrick Jaron Watnanen, who had brought her in and begged him for a copy of the CD and just really fell in love with it and really fell in love with the fact that she weaves together sort of jazz with a lot of African sounds.
While playing the violin.
While playing the violin is not necessarily something that on paper I would rush out and check out this record. And I love the album. The album is called Reverse Thread and the song is called N'Teri.
Nice choice.
It builds and builds as it goes along, too. Yeah. And I'm just enormously taken with it.
Regina Carter.
For the other side, I wasn't here for the Tiny Desk concert, to be totally fair, so I wasn't able to have the reaction. But I got to say, just coming to this like this, it feels a little Wyndham Hill-y to me.
Oh! This is because this is for sleigh bells, isn't it?
No, it feels a little, it just feels a little new agey to me, like something I'd hear, well, on public radio.
Dropping the Wyndham Hill insult.
Wow.
Robin.
That is nuclear. Just, that is a nuclear assault.
So
I don't totally agree with Robin, but I will say that out of context, I think if I heard that as a transition, like in an all things considered show, I would not think twice about it.
This is
right.
Wait, now is this a diss?
Now,
I'm just saying that you contextualized it. So I was listening to it, imagining your experience, and felt a lot more open to it than I think I would in
a
different.
Then I did my job, didn't I?
That's why I'm saying I need to listen to the whole record. I didn't have the experience.
What I'm saying, Stephen, is this is a backhanded compliment.
You know, I need her to actually come and sit on my desk, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to enjoy the song.
So, biggest surprises. That's great.
Anyway, I was enormously surprised by it. I love it. Keep going back to it. Everybody should check it out. Regina Carter. Stick it, Robin.
Let's move on to the piece de resistance.
God. Yeah.
Please speak French the rest of the show.
Favorite song. Song of the year for each one of us. This was the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
For me, of all the things we had to do, picking the album wasn't as hard. But boy, this sure was. Robin, was this a tough one for
you? It was my easiest, actually. I mean, I had a super long list of favorite songs from the year, sure, that I had to pick from.
What'd you rate them? Were they all 5 stars?
These all would be 5-star songs. Yeah. But the one that I kept coming back to was by a band called Lower Dens. I would actually give them Best New Band. They probably will be my favorite album of the year.
Best Supporting Actor.
When I do my eventual top 10.
I feel like you've watered down all of your other choices by...
That's right. You've cheapened them.
You've cheapened them. There was 10 winners.
You monster.
Everybody's a winner.
And
go ahead.
This one gets the Blue Ribbon Prize, too, in the three-legged race contest, Lower Dens. The song is I Get Nervous, and let's just listen to it. It's from Lower Dens. The album is Twin Hand Movement.
Thank you.
Lower Dens, a band from Baltimore. Man, every time I hear that song, it just elevates me.
Saw them live recently at CMJ, and they were fantastic. They really are winning to an audience. I mean, they have a way of being so hypnotic, they really draw in the audience. I think they're
that song is just, it is just the most perfectly balanced song. It's like everything is just placed just so. You know, that drone that they have just sits mm-hmm. right there in yeah. the middle of the mix. And when they came by for a Tiny Desk concert, they it looked like they had made everything themselves out of cardboard and duct tape. And it turns out that they do make all their own, or they know a guy who makes all the pedals for mm-hmm. them, so that's how they get that sound.
Very nice. They're destined for good things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm going to do my Song of the Year. There was a barter, right, for the Song of the Year, right? I had Sleigh Bells, the real, not the one he picked, which is a good song, but the one that was more like came off a Phil Spector album. That was my Song of the Year. But when I heard Robin thought of it as the Album of the Year, I gave it to him to do Album of the Year.
Bob just gives and gives.
I am the gift that keeps on. And so going down my list, I could have picked so many. I wound up picking what could have been my Surprise of the Year, which was a Josh Ritter song. Josh Ritter makes really good records.
Really does.
And this year, he made a really, really great record. And this song just kills me. The words of the song, Rattling Locks, and the way this song builds and builds. You can listen to the song and listen to each player. Each builds their own part to this perfect ending of the song. The chorus, this black hole, he's talking to what I assume is a former lover. Josh Ritter, the record is So Runs the World Away, and the song Rattling Locks.
There was a time I had the right key. Rolled the tumbler, slid the bolt on every wandering eye I caught. But something has changed, it's all wrong. I'm out here in the cold with a wet face, so rattle in your locks. There ain't nothing new about the world that I ain't learned from just standing here in this spot. Ain't nothing new about the world that I ain't learned from just watching you go by. I tell myself people are cold and strangers pass. Separate themselves from love by building walls 100,000 miles high. Frostbite and heart sickness, ain't neither one of them so bad if you can understand the reason why. Black hole, black hole, are your eyes as empty as they look? Black hole, black hole, how can your two eyes be empty as they look? All along I thought I was giving you my love, but you were just stealing it. Now I want back every single thing that you took. I was dying, but it wasn't no nightmare. I was peaceful as I fell.
And if I was falling into heaven, heaven must be hotter than the Bible tells. I woke up sorry I was living. Rather than rattling your locks, I'd rather spend the night in hell. In hell. In hell. In hell.
Kills me.
Man, I love that too. He was on my short list for Surprise of the Year too, just because he just got so huge on this record.
I wasn't surprised. I like every record that's coming out.
But it's a great album. I would have believed it if you told me Daniel Lanois had produced that record. Oh, as a real,
that's great.
That
That'd
kind
be a great
feel.
Team.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk to him.
Never heard it, but loved it.
Oh, good.
Bob.
Excellent. Thank you.
Specifically really like your stuff.
Everybody likes Bob.
You know, you get to work here anyway. Right, Carrie? You know that, right?
We're here with Stephen Thompson, Robin Hilton, Carrie Brownstein. We're doing right now Songs of the Year. We'll have listener poll coming up on December 14th. That'll be the results of you, the listener, nominating all the songs and then voting for them. We'll put that online. Holiday show is coming up, too, but yeah, that's another story entirely. Stephen Thompson, what do you have? Favorite song?
Favorite song of the year. I disqualified a couple of songs that I've already played on All Songs Considered. I really, really love Blood Buzz Ohio by The National.
Yeah, I did, too.
I love Thistled Spring by Horse Feathers is a song I listened to again and again and again and again this year. I decided to pick a Sharon Van Etten song. Robin usually is the one who goops on about Sharon Van Etten, but I
be still my beating
but
heart.
I love Sharon Van Etten too, and this particular song is one of the it's the slowest song on this record she put out this year called Epic. Usually she writes about these very, very small moments and the way these very small moments illuminate larger feelings. This particular record, it's actually about more of a mission statement. It's making a larger statement about the way that our struggles ultimately feed us and make us better for them. And this song is called Love More. No light.
said the words she said left out over into the sky where I'll soon fly, and she took the time to believe in, to believe in what she said. She made me love, she made me love, she made me love more. She made me love, she made me love, she made me love
to say. Bob literally had leaned back in his chair with his eyes closed, and I was waving, trying to go. I was like, Bob, Bob, Bob.
And I didn't fall asleep.
No.
Despite the fact that, you know, I walked quickly out of a Sharon Van Etten concert, a beautiful church concert at South by Southwest, to go to some other show.
While Robin and I were crying.
That's right, while you were crying. And despite the fact that I missed the Tiny Desk concert here, not because I wanted to, and despite the fact that I didn't love this record, I closed...
anything else?
Okay, yes, I'm coming to the point that I had my eyes closed, not because I was falling asleep, because I thought it was really, really beautiful.
She's
I thought
amazing.
That, yeah, and well, I didn't
a
find
backhanded.
I didn't find that at all in any of the other instances. Even my listening through the record, I found it was slow going for me, and I'm now going to revisit this
so
record.
So wrong.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
I hate to think that you might be
this
right.
This is a 10-star album.
We are right. We are right.
10-star. 10-star
album. I love every song on this.
I don't like it at all.
Okay, we got to do Carrie because we're going to lose her in about
Sharon,
4 minutes.
Call me.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Robin, okay.
I'm going to throw it to Carrie. Carrie, you get the last word here. What would be the last word for Carrie Brownstein, the 2010 Song of the Year? What would you say, Carrie?
Fuck you. Okay, so for my Song of the Year, it is CeeLo and his song.
Can I just stop you? 1 second.
Yeah.
Which is that if anybody's offended by the F-bomb, we beeped out the one that you just heard, but we're not bleeping out CeeLo Green. And if you miss this song and you don't know what the song's about, or you're just offended by the F word, this show's over for you. Have a great new year. Have a great year.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everybody. Now,
okay,
they're all gone. Carrie.
All right, so using swear words obviously is tricky in songs. It can be gimmicky or shocking, and sometimes they begin to lose their effect. But the contrast between CeeLo's, you know, soulful sound and voice and the bite and flippancy and humor with which he delivers the phrase, it just makes it timeless. And I feel like this chorus could be added to the canon of great, you know, phrases and soul songs. Plus, the phraseology is very colloquial. And even the two words before fuck you, they are almost more damning and brutal than the phrase itself, because he says, I'm like... Fuck You. And it's such a great song. This is, to me, a song I came back to over and over again once it came out. I love it. It's potent. It's just CeeLo always, I feel like he's so of the moment. And it's a great song. So here it is, CeeLo, Fuck You.
No other song certainly summed up how I felt about working with Bob this year. Oh, poor Bob. If you could see his face now, he looks like he's really brokenhearted.
You just kicked him in the stomach.
I'm sorry, Bob. I take it
back. In front of my Hanukkah LED candle.
I'm so sorry. I love you guys. Carrie, I'm so glad you could make it back
for
this end of the year show.
It's about time we got Brownstein back.
Sure. You guys, I'm so glad to be back, too. And we should clarify for like the upteenth time that these are our favorites. These are not the quintessential.
These
are not the best. I mean, obviously, we didn't mention The National. We did not mention Arcade Fire, LCD Sound System.
I want mad props for not mentioning Admiral Radley through the whole thing.
That's right.
Even
no, you
have.
Just did, and now I'm going to play the CeeLo. Now the CeeLo song is for you, Robin.
Oh, Broken Bells, Deer Hunter, Carrie. We both love the Deer Hunter record.
Deer Hunter should be up there.
Well, thank you.
It's yeah, thanks for having me, you guys, and invite me back. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Good luck with Wild Flag.
We've got. I've been watching
good luck with everything. We're going to lose you in 3 seconds.
I was watching the YouTube videos.
Bye.
Bye.
See you driving around town with the girl I love, and I'm like, fuck you. I guess the change in my pocket wasn't enough. I'm like, fuck you, and fuck her too. Said if I was richer, I'd still be with ya. Now ain't that some shit?
Ain't that some shit?
And although that's praise in my chest, I still wish you the best with the you. Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't afford a Ferrari, but that don't mean I can't get you there. But now it's over, and no longer are we, cause the way you play your game ain't fair. I picture the fool that falls in love with you. Tell your little boy free. See you driving round town with the girl I love, and I'm like, fuck you. I guess the change in my pocket wasn't enough. I'm like, fuck you, and fuck her too. Said if I was richer, I'd still be with ya. Now ain't that some shit?
Ain't that some shit?
And although that's pain in my chest, I still wish you the best with the.
She told me this is one for your dad.
Yeah, she did.